Amen. One thing I want to tell you, don't ever forget from whence you came. I don't want you to ever forget that one time you needed God's grace and God's mercy in abundance. And so if we needed it and God gave it to us, and we need to share it with others too. We need to quit judging, and we need to do the loving that God's been telling us to do, and we need to start showing grace and mercy more abundantly. I don't know about you, but some days I need all the grace God has in heaven. Amen. And mercy. Some days are just bigger than other days, right? All right, God's amazing grace is life without limits. You know, one time when I first started church, was in my home, and I was prophesying over my praise and worship leader, and God spoke to her and said, "Daughter, my road is wide, and you can have all the joy you want." And I thought, that's not true, because the Word of God says my path is narrow. So I questioned God about it after the service, along with her. I said, we need to sit down and talk about this with God. And God said, when you give your whole heart to me, when you abandon yourself totally and complete to me, the road is wide, because I can trust you. You can do anything, because I know you won't do anything outside of my word. So, you know, I thought that was pretty neat. Once you really surrender everything you are to God, then he trusts you with all of his heart, and you just have full and free reign in the heavenlies. Not in sin, but in the heavenlies. All right, so God's amazing grace is life without limits. Before Jesus came, the only way to receive anything from God was by sweating and toiling to keep the law. It was a life of trying and trying and trying. I see people in the body of Christ doing that today, don't you? But that is no longer the case. I'm sorry. Jesus brought a new era, an era of grace, E-R-A, of grace. He said in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And didn't he invite us this morning to lay all of our burdens down? I hope each and every one of you did, because God really wants to take our burdens. We can't work for him carrying all these heavy burdens. We just can't. I'm not saying your problem's going to go away, but you don't have to carry it. Give it to God. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Remember, God's been teaching us that we need to enter into his rest. And he's been trying to get us to lay down these worldly burdens that we carry. And he's been trying to get us to rest in his arms and not to look at the situation, but to look straight at him and the author and finisher of your life, because he knows how to handle everything. We don't. All right, this was more than just a feel-good statement. It was the beginning of something new. Grace is not something that came through Jesus. Grace is everything that came through Jesus. Grace is not something that came through Jesus. Grace is everything that came through Jesus. So when Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," he was saying he will grace you with a gift of rest. It is his gift to you. Are you listening? All you are carrying around your burdens. God is saying he will grace you with a gift of rest. It is his gift to you. I'm going to tell you right now, you can get this from God. All hell can be breaking loose around about you. Everything that could go wrong has gone wrong and is going wrong. But you will find yourself in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on Christ. And you just know that you know that you know that he's in control. And it doesn't matter what pops up, you know, suddenly from the enemy. You just say, well, God's in control. And he is in control. And there's nothing you can do about it, is there? Except trust him, believe him, and just let him go ahead. And don't take it back. Don't take that thing back you gave to God. Let him have it. And just say, God, you have it. And I'm not going to take it back. I've done that too many years. I've learned my lesson, Father, so it's yours, it's going to stay yours, and you're just going to have to take care of it. You really have to do that, and if you do that, you can get into God's perfect rest. We need to understand that without grace, there would be no faith. As believers, we are instructed to live our daily lives with true goals, aims, and divine purpose. As believers, we are instructed to live our daily lives with true goals, aims, and divine purpose. We cannot achieve this unless we walk in God's grace. We're not just supposed to sit in our home saying, "Well, God, you're going to take care of me," and do absolutely nothing but just sit there. There's a part you have to play in your walk with God. What is the key to experiencing God's grace? Embracing our weakness. God is not looking for strong people to help him accomplish his work. The truth is that the Lord is looking for people who are weak enough to be used. We must remember that his strength is made perfect in our weakness in 2 Corinthians 12:9. How many of you has God ever said when he's asked you to do something and you're trying to do it and you can't, you're doing the best of your knowledge but you can't quite get it done and you cry out to God and he gives you that scripture. He says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. All right? Come on. The key to experiencing supernatural liberating strength is personal weakness. You guys sitting in here, and women too, I'm talking about men and women, if you have so much pride in you and you think you can do everything, God can't use you. He certainly cannot use you. The key to experiencing supernatural liberating strength is personal weakness. I don't know about you, but I know I couldn't even stand up here and teach if it wasn't for the Father. Are you listening here? I failed oral communications in college. I just could not get up and stand in front of anybody and speak. But when the anointing of God, when the calling of God is on your life, you can do all things through Christ Jesus. All right? Understand that personal weakness does not mean weak character or faulty biblical knowledge. On the contrary, God is looking for a people who have come to the place where they have lost confidence in their fleshly power to accomplish the work of the Spirit. Some of you guys in here that has come from the deep world, dark world, I know you've battled with that in that area of your life because you were so used to being in control when you was in the deep darkness, and now you still think you need to be in control, and that isn't how it works. So I said, on the contrary, God is looking for a people who have come to the place where they have lost confidence in their fleshly power to accomplish the work of the Spirit, of the Spirit. Only when we embrace the weakness of ourselves apart from Christ can we become strong and graced to accomplish things for the true advancing of God's glorious kingdom. You know, when we say that you're weak in your own strength, you are. And people full of pride don't even go to God and try to get him to help them do anything. They just think, I'll do it. And they'll even argue, you know, because they're not walking in the Spirit. They'll argue with a Spirit-filled person about why can't they do this thing? Because after all, they have the knowledge, they have the know-how, they have the strength. It's because you're doing it in your flesh, and it's not going to bear any fruit. If you're not doing it in the Spirit, it will not bear any fruit. All right? Okay, so you know how to sell a house. Big whoop. But if you put God in it, he could sell 10 houses, right? So this is what I'm talking about. All right. So, you know, you could go out there and maybe your car salesman, you could sell a car a day. But if you have God in it and ask God in it every day, he could sell 5 cars a day for you. If you do it in his strength and not your own. Only when we embrace the weakness of ourselves apart from Christ can we become strong in grace to accomplish things for the true advancing of God's glorious kingdom. This truth is clearly displayed in the story found in Psalm 107, verse 23 through 28, which describes the strong, seaworthy sailors who made their living upon the high seas. However, one day the Lord raised a stormy wind that blew away every last ounce of their self-confidence. Isn't that what happened? They found themselves at their wits' end and cried out for the Lord's grace and help. How many of us do that? We never cry out to God for help until we're at our wits' end. Till we hit that wall and we can't go any further. And then all of a sudden, there's a God here that can help me. Isn't that the way the church does it? And really, truly, you should be crying out to God before you hit the wall. Amen. All right. They found themselves at their wits' ends and cried out for the Lord's grace and help. Although they were skilled and experienced, the winds and waves of the sea convinced them of their dependence upon God. I want to talk to each one of you sitting here tonight that you're called to be a leader. If you're really going to do the work of the Father and really going to bear good fruit, you're going to have to walk in the Spirit, and you're going to have to know that you know that you know that you can't do this on your own. That if God isn't in it, you might as well just quit it. because all you are is a piece of flesh touching another piece of flesh, and no fruit is being produced. God's been telling us for over 8 years now the glory's coming. And he said to me one day, he said, you can just quit trying to make me bring my glory, because I'm not going to bring it until I'm ready to. And I didn't even realize I was trying to make him bring the glory. See, so how many of you are doing things that you don't realize that you're doing even? Until God tells you, hey, you know, when I'm ready, I'll do it. So you just quit. And I don't ever pretend the glory has dropped. I don't do that. Because I know what the glory is. I know what it is not. And I know we don't have the glory. We have it here and there, but we do not have it in its fullness. And believe me, when we get it in its fullness, everybody in this room will know that the true glory has really fallen in the house of God. There is not one of us sitting here today that has not encountered the winds of change in our life. Is that true? Everybody sitting here, winds of change have come across your life more than one time. And how many of you threw a fit about that? God's trying to change you and rearrange you. And you've said, God, change me. But yet when he tries, you throw a fit. Let him change you. Let him rearrange you. Let him make you the person he wants you to be, not the person that you perceive yourself to be. Christ Jesus declares in John 15:5, without me, you can accomplish nothing. Now, do you believe that or not? That's the word. If you believe the rest of the word, you have to believe that. And Christ himself said, without me, you can accomplish nothing. This word nothing means completely, totally nothing. It truly means less than nothing. Amen. Ours is a life of unspeakable joy when we come to the place where we understand that only the work of the Spirit can advance the kingdom of God. Come on, guys. The deposit of grace. In other words, absolutely nothing you have ever done in the past and nothing you could ever accomplish in the future will match the unparalleled joy of letting Jesus live his life through you. I imagine there's quite a few people sitting in the house of God that you've been walking with God for a long time, and then all of a sudden circumstances came into your life and you love the Lord, still love the Lord with all your heart, but you found yourself trying to sail your own boat, trying to make things happen. Then you realize, hey, you know, nothing's happening. Why isn't there anything happening? Because you've taken the reins. You need to give the reins back to God and let him control your life. I know a lot of us in here tonight have done that. And it has grieved God. It has grieved God because we know better. But because circumstances got so hard, life got so rough, somehow or other we thought, well, if I start doing my thing, I can make it better. No, you just make it worse. So guys, I'm asking you not to do that. No matter how hard it gets, still stay in the eye of the storm, that song. Still stay in the secure place in God and be like Job. You know, Job didn't want to go through what he went through, but Job just stayed right there. He didn't have no choice, I don't believe. But still, and all, stay right there and don't leave God. And don't try to make things happen. You'll mess your whole life up. You'll mess people's lives up around about you. Just stay calm and steady in that storm. God has exactly fitted for each of us a unique walk of grace. Each one of us in here tonight, we each have our own unique walk of grace. You might be able to do things that I could never do. You know? We each walk our own walk of grace. It depends on the calling upon your life, what God will allow you to do. Brother Larry was prophesied 2 years and years ago, and he came out of the prophetic room and he was upset. I said, what are you upset about? He said, well, God told me I couldn't do things that other people do because of the calling on my life, and I'm mad about that. You know, if some Christians could do it, why couldn't he? I mean, guys, you know, do you want to be a clone? Or do you want to be that unique individual who God moves through the way he wants to move through you? You have to stop and think about this. Do I want to be unique? Do I want to be different? Or do I just want to fit in with a bunch of other people? I don't know about you, but every one of us in here need to stand out. When we're in a crowd, we need to stand out and people need to know there's something different about this person. And that something different is Jesus Christ in you. That's your uniqueness that he has put in you personally. And it's drawing people to Christ, not to you, but to Christ. All right. So you girls, if a man walks up, you can get all gushy over you. He's not gushing over you. He's gushing over the Jesus in you that drew him to you. But see, we're so feeble-minded, right away we get self in there and think, oh, they're making eyes at me. No, the Spirit of God is calling them. And God expects you to lead them to Christ, not to a bedroom. Amen. I remember when I was first born again, I used to go out and evangelize, and my mother went with me a couple of times, and a couple of the men in the church, they'd run up and hug me and just cry. I knew that was the Spirit of God. Mother said, look how they lust after you. I said, Mother, they're not. I said, that's the Holy Spirit in me drawing them. And they gave their hearts to God. But she couldn't understand it. See, the world cannot understand spiritual things. But I want each one of you in here tonight to understand, if you're truly going to be unique, if you're truly going to be different, then God is going to use you in a mighty way. And don't step into sin and think the person wants you when what they're really after, they're being drawn by the Spirit of God in you. See, too many people are looking for husbands and wives and whatever, and that's how the enemy messes you up. Because you're always looking for a husband, always looking for a wife. I say, why don't you just forget about that? Why don't you just go ahead and walk out your walk with God? And if God wants you married, he'll send somebody your way. Quit look, everybody you see, quit saying, is that my soulmate? Get out of here. I hear that so much, I just like to bop you a good one. You know, what if God never wants you to get married again? What are you going to do, leave God? Come on. Just ask Brother Brad. He wanted to get married so bad, and he got married to a woman who had six kids. And then he said, what did I do? Did I really want to get married this bad? He went through that stage, and don't lie. And, you know, he didn't leave his wife. He still loved his wife. But, you know, he's saying, what have I done? Brother Chris married a woman that has three teenagers, or just about teenagers. He said, what have I done? You know, come on. We think we need to get married, and then you marry everything with that thing, right? You know, that thing you married, you marry everything else too with it, but you never look at that when you're out there with your eyes of lust. Right? So each one, I want each to think about this tonight now, because if you're unique, which you are, and God is calling you to do something unique, you need to get your eyes off of marriage and get them on God. That's the biggest drawback in the house of God, is too many men and women are looking out there looking for a mate and not looking for God. Then when they get one, they say, oh, what have I done? Then you got to deal with it. You can't drop it. Because then they say, oh, look at the church. I have more divorces than the world has. Isn't that what they say? Come on. Well, somebody need to hear that. That was off in a side road. As we yield our wills and ways to the Holy Spirit's control, we begin to experience this walk of grace. Excuse me. As we yield our wills and ways to the Holy Spirit's control, we begin to experience this walk of grace. It's not until you yield your will and your ways to God that you're going to experience grace. Through yielding and embracing our personal weakness, we experience the abundant grace that enables us to accomplish all that God has assigned for us to do. And you find that in Philippians 4:13. This deposit of grace is what makes the fire of passion burn so brightly in new believers. New believers. This deposit of grace is what makes the fire of passion burn so brightly in new believers. If you get somebody just born again, boy, they're on fire for God, aren't they? They want to go out there and burn the world up. Then you see somebody's been in the way for 30 years. They can't even figure out why they even go to church in Sundays. But the new Christians are on fire for God. I think everybody in here has experienced that, haven't you? When you first got born again, boy, you're so happy and you wanted to go out there and you wanted to just kill every demon there was and, you know, turn the world upside down. And then all of a sudden, a couple years later, you say, oh, I don't know what I'm doing now. Right? That's the enemy trying to discourage you. And he knows how to put a lot of discouragement in your path to cause you to stop what you're doing. Don't allow him to do that. All right, I said, this deposit of grace is what makes the fire of passion burn so brightly in new believers. It is this same amazing grace that causes mature believers to abide in God's glorious grace. It is this same amazing grace that causes mature believers to abide in God's glorious grace. You know, Paul, you know, he had that woman, that girl, she had divination in her, and she was following him around telling people all about him. And Paul got upset with that, didn't he? And he wanted that thing removed from him. God said, my grace is sufficient. Some of you have thorns in your flesh. In other words, somebody that's bugging you to pieces. And you're saying, God, would you please remove this person out of my life? And what God is saying, my grace is sufficient. He's trying to teach you something. The sooner you learn the lesson, the sooner your little thorn's going to be gone. Are you listening? Come on. And I know a lot of Christians today, some of you in here, some of us in here, we have thorns in the flesh and we say, God, do you really see what you're doing? Do you know what you're doing? And he said, yep, my grace is sufficient. Come on. All right. It is the same amazing grace that causes mature believers to abide in God's glorious grace. Our life should testify. Listen to that. Our life should testify to the ability of God's awesome grace to use us to accomplish great and mighty things for God's glory. In short, we were saved by grace and must continue to live by grace. We were saved by grace and we must continue to live by grace. Excuse me. We cannot separate our daily responsibilities and activities from a grace-filled life. We cannot separate our daily responsibilities and activities from a grace-filled life. We are saved by grace and we are kept by God's magnificent grace. You know, we wouldn't even be sitting here this morning if it wasn't for God's grace. I mean, this evening. He's keeping us in the midst of the storms of life. He's doing that. But people, the body of Christ does not understand that the reason why you can still stand up even and even breathe is because of God's grace that's keeping you. That is a fact. And we need to stop thinking that we're doing it all. And we need to understand and give God glory for his grace that he gives us each and every day. How many of you sometimes, you wouldn't be for God's grace, you couldn't get out of bed in the morning? I mean, really, you know, it's God's grace. How may you live in houses that are full of turmoil and the only way you can make it through is by God's grace? Everything's in such a frenzy all the time. You think, I'm not going to survive this, but yes, you do. It's through God's grace. Right? But see, whenever you're asking for God's grace, you can't be complaining either. Hello? If you're asking God to give you grace to endure the thing he's placed you in, then quit complaining about it. Thank God that his grace is sufficient. Thank God he's seeing you through. Thank God he's keeping you in the midst of that situation that you're in. I had to learn that the hard way, but I did learn it. I learned the more I complained, the worse it got. And I learned whenever I finally gave it to God and just said, God, it's your thorn and your grace. And you're going to have to keep me because I can't deal with this. And you know what I found out? I found out I had more joy. I found out I had more peace. And I found out I could endure more things than what I thought I could endure. Why? Because God's grace was in the mixture. Amen. We're always trying to make individuals understand us. You don't even understand your own self half the time. So why do you think somebody else is going to understand you and where you're coming from? That is the truth. Have you ever sat down at the end of the day and just thought about your day and thought, I don't even understand half the stuff I did today. I don't understand how I got through it. But God did. He was there with you. He gave me grace to get through it. He does the same thing to you every day. You didn't get through that day all on your own strength. I'm going to tell you right now. Because the enemy has more roadblocks thrown in front of your feet than you know of. And God told me that one time. He said, daughter, and my angelic host goes before you and removes those roadblocks. So if it wouldn't be for his grace, I wouldn't be standing here tonight. You need to understand it too. If it wouldn't be for his grace, you might not be standing here tonight. Amen. The the body of Christ seems to understand much concerning the grace of God touching an unbeliever's life. It is only by God's grace that anyone comes to the place of repentance and salvation. However, we lack true understanding concerning God's ability of grace to operate in believers' daily lives. Grace does not just change our mind, but learning to embrace our weakness and function through His strength alone has a profound, all-persuasive, transforming effect upon our lives. I'm going to say that again. However, we lack, you know, you understand about unbelievers, the grace in their life. However, we lack the true understanding concerning God's ability of grace to operate in believers' daily lives. Grace does not just change our mind, but learning to embrace our weakness and function through His strength alone has a profound, all-persuasive, transforming effect upon our lives. Everybody in here tonight, you've got to get this teaching about grace down into your spirit. You're going to have to know in the days ahead when the trouble really hits the road, you're going to have to know it's by God's grace that you're going to be kept. Come on. God said He would keep those who are His. Now, if you're professing to be His, if you're living for Him with all your heart, you don't have anything to worry about because God's grace is going to keep you. He'll give you a few birds from heaven, you know. He'll give you whatever you have need of. He'll make the water whenever you need water. See, we don't really believe that. We just don't believe that God's capable of feeding us like He did the children in the wilderness. But He is. He really is. I want you to get that in your spirit too. You know, I'm not saying don't put up food. I'm not saying that. But what if a hurricane comes through or a tornado and rips your house apart and there goes all your food flying through the air? What are you going to do then? You're going to have to know God's grace is sufficient and that God is going to feed you and give you water when you need it. Amen. Grace is a powerful motivator, provoking us to reach higher and accomplish more for Christ and His kingdom. Grace is a powerful motivator, provoking us to reach higher and accomplish more for Christ and His kingdom. Essential ingredients for grace. The Apostle Paul stated in 1 Corinthians 5, 15-10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, listen to this, and His grace toward me was not in vain. Is God's grace toward you in vain? But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. See that? But by the grace of God, you know, I don't know about you, but when I see somebody on drugs, I see an alcoholic or somebody that's into perversion, I really do, but for the grace of God, there goes I. I'm not going to judge that person. I don't know how they got there, but by the grace of God, there goes I. But for the grace of God. Each one of you need to think about that when you're looking at somebody that's on drugs or drinking or whatever they're into. You ought to thank God that He didn't allow you to get in there. That His grace was with you and His grace was sufficient and His grace covered you. And He kept you safe from all that. Are you understanding this too? But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul declared that the grace of God was not wasted upon his life, but he labored more because of the act of grace in his life. See that? Paul declared that the grace of God was not wasted upon his life, but he labored more because of the act of grace in his life. I know a lot of Christians that God's grace is being wasted. And that's a shame. Because all you have to do is just yield. Just give Him your all. His grace will see you through. All that we are radically dependent on God's grace and all that we are and all that we do, we are still called to labor abundantly to advance God's kingdom. It is only by and through grace that we accomplish anything. Yet God expects us to labor diligently in His service. It is only by and through grace that we accomplish anything. You see that? I want you to get that in your spirit tonight. Yet God expects us to labor diligently in His service. Charles Spurgeon once said, faith goes up the stairs that love has built and looks out the window which hope has opened. I thought that was neat. Faith goes up the stairs that love has built and looks out the window which hope has opened. Do you have that kind of grace working in your life? Just as diligent labor is required to extract all of the grace that God has given us, humility is required to obtain grace. 1 Peter 5:5, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. People with pride in their life, you might as well not be standing out there watching for God's grace to come along. You're going to have to become humble. You're going to have to say, Father, I can't do this on my own. I finally come to grips with the fact that I'm not who I think I am. I'm not the Amazon man, you know. I'm not God. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm just a human being that you placed in my mother's womb, and I need your grace to see me through. Amen. We all know that in our homes, even, and in the churches, there's so much backbiting and division and hate. But if it wouldn't be for God's grace, the enemy would take us over. But God brings grace into the midst of that mix. And that grace is what sees you through. Where am I at here? Grace is promised to the humble. A great saint of years gone by made this observation. The moment humility announces herself, she is already on her way out the door. The moment humility announces herself, she is already on her way out the door. In other words, she's not really humble. And God gives grace to the humble. If we would truly be humble and careful not to usurp God's glory, always giving him praise for what he is doing, I am sure we would receive more grace. You know, I really believe that the body of Christ needs to spend more time repenting in your prayer closet. Your prayer closet could be your car, it could be a field, it could be any place. But we need to spend more time repenting for our arrogant ways and thank God for his grace. Today, may each heart embrace the promise given in Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Remember what he said about he couldn't drop the glory drop in here because it would kill the people. Because they weren't ready for a glory drop. Because there was too much sin in their lives. Too much pride. In this passage, we see the true key to advancing God's kingdom. It is by God's gift of grace that we are able to behold the glory. See that it is by God's gift of grace that we are able to behold the glory. Could that be why in a church service one person could see an angel and nobody else in the church could see him? Because that one person was humble before the Father? I just want you to think about that kind of stuff. Any good thing ever accomplished by mankind is a direct result of the anointing and impartation of God's grace. May we walk a grace-filled life in order to see the glory of God fill the earth. When I first came on the scene, you know, I wasn't humble, I was stupid. In other words, I didn't understand the things of God. And so when God was using me mightily as a prophet, I didn't think nothing of that. I just didn't understand what I was doing. But people were inviting me to all their churches because a prophet was in town. And you know, and God was just using me mightily. And signs, wonders, and miracles were everywhere. But it was because I was humble, though, really. I didn't understand the ways of God. But God said, my Holy Spirit will teach you. So the Holy Spirit taught me. But while he was teaching me, I just was like a little kid. I just went out there and just did. You know, I was just a vessel. And God would just, I would say, work through me, Lord. And he would. And we saw many great signs, wonders, and miracles happen. And over the 30 years that we've been in the business, you know, God said church is a business. So since we've been serving the Lord. But there came a day when I got upset with some things in my household. And I said, God, you just don't care. Now, I had to pay a price for that statement. Because I became unhumble. I would say I became prideful, thinking that God didn't care, and therefore, why should I care? I had to pay a price for a few years of God walking away from me with his anointing. Well, the anointing was always there, but I didn't live in the Holy Spirit anointing like I did before. Before it was 24/7. And when I got to that place, it was just when church service was. Because I wanted to quit church, and God said, no, but you are going to have to pay for what you said. He let me come up here, let me do the service, he let me pray for the people. But when I walked out that door, I was like anybody else. I didn't like that, but it was my fault. So I'm asking each one of you in here tonight, do you want to go down that road? And no, you don't. See, when you walk in the Spirit for 30 years, 24/7, then all of a sudden he withdraws that, you've just become the walking dead. Because without God, I'm nothing. Without the anointing with me, I'm nothing. I praise and I thank God every day that he saw fit now to give me back the anointing, to walk with me all the time now, give me dreams and visions once again. But I'm going to tell you that what it cost me was not worth a statement. I want each one of you here tonight to learn from, to glean something from my mistake. Watch what you say. Watch how you act. And don't think that God, just because you're in a terrible, terrible situation, don't think God has left you, because he has not. You know, I said, here I am, Lord, use me. You know, he didn't make me say that. And so if he chose to put me in the midst of a lot of darkness and depraved people, to try to pull them up out of the snare of the fowler, well, then that's what I should have done. I should have let him go ahead and use me. But I got tired. And I felt I deserve more. Don't ever feel like you deserve more, because you don't. Jesus deserved more too, didn't he? But he didn't get it, did he? He still went to the cross. You are God's vessel that he wants to work through. You will have a lot of pain in your lifetime. You will suffer. The Bible tells you that. You will suffer for the name of Christ. Go ahead and suffer. Because as you're suffering, God will give you grace. Don't you think it was God's grace that brought Job through his experience? Of course it was. So I'm encouraging each one of you in here tonight. God's grace is sufficient. It really is. You know, and I said, but God, this is what I dreamed about all my life, what my life would be like. But you know, that wasn't God's dream. That was my dream. And I was wanting God to come to my dream. See, I wasn't yielding totally and completely to what his calling on my life was. I didn't realize that, but that's where I was at. So whatever you think you deserve in life, I would just forget about that. I would just go to the Father and say, God, your grace is sufficient. Whatever it is you want me to go through, I'll go through. I'll quit complaining. Whatever you want me to have, I'll accept that. What you don't want me to have, I'll accept that. Look at Paul. He spent most of his life in prison. He didn't ask to be saved on that road, did he? But he always glorified God, didn't he? It doesn't ever say he ever complained. So why are we such complainers? When I teach you guys something, I've already lived it. I know what I'm talking about. I know how God works. I know what he's done with me. And I know, I can tell you one thing. You don't want to go down some of the wrong roads I went down. All right? Because his grace is sufficient in every area of your life. Where am I at, Nancy? Grace is an open door which bids us to draw nearer to God. What I said before was may we walk a grace-filled life in order to see the glory of God fill the earth. Grace is an open door which bids us to draw nearer to God. In Proverbs 8:17, God declares, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Why? That I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. That's God speaking, not me. We must never forget that God has great plans for his people. You know, God's plan for your life is so much greater than you could ever imagine. I mean, so much greater than you could ever imagine. I'm asking you tonight, just yield to his plan for your life. Forget about what you want. Forget about what you thought you wanted. And just when he speaks to you, be obedient, listen to his voice, and do what he's asking you to do. And quit complaining. We must never forget that God has great plans for his people. Hear his promise stated in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That's what God thinks about us. We need to start lining up with what God thinks about us. It is time to open our hearts wide to God's grace and experience the good plans he has for each of us. Now is a time grace has provided an open door in heaven, right now. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, now it is time to approach the throne of God's grace to find favor and help during these days. We need God's grace and we need his favor in these end time days. In Psalm 46:10, we are instructed to be still. See there, that is be still thing. And know that he is God. That God is God. How many of us, we fail in that area. We fail to be still and know that God is God in every situation in our life. We think somehow or other he's forgot where you are. And we start complaining. Great grace is released when we truly enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Great grace is released when we truly enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. His Holy Spirit flows into our being to build our faith. Listen to this. His Holy Spirit flows into our being to build our faith and provide the enabling grace for obedience. It is essential that we set apart time each day to be in his presence. This and only this will make the changes that must occur if we are to reach this hurting world with the message of God's redemptive, transforming grace. We must be radical reflectors of his life. The church is not a radical reflector of the Christ of Jesus. We reflect Satan really well, but we must start reflecting God. We must stay in his presence until we are so saturated with his being that when you come out of his presence, they won't know which is God and which is you. That all they'll see is Jesus in you. Don't allow somebody else to say, oh, well, you know, God doesn't want you to go through this pain. Well, if God didn't want me to go through that pain, he would take me out of it. Are you listening? God never meant for you to live this way. Then if he didn't, then because I'm his child, he would take me out of that situation. He has a plan and a purpose for each one in one of your lives. And I've told you before, I said to God, God, I just can't do this. He says, yes, you can. You just don't want to. So a lot of you in here tonight, it's not the fact you can't do what God's calling you to do. You just don't want to do what God's calling you to do. It's hard. It's hard to do the calling that God has upon your life if you're trying to do it in your own strength. But we all know that we're here for a plan and a purpose. We are here. We are not our own, but we belong to God. He sent us down here to do it on assignment. We have assignments to accomplish for the Father. And he knows exactly which assignment you're supposed to be on. Therefore, quit your complaining about your assignment and just go ahead knowing that God's grace is with you and go ahead and do what he's calling you forth to do. You have more than one assignment as you walk this earth, more than one. So don't think, oh, wow, I'm so glad I'm over that assignment. Now I can sit down and relax. No, you can't. The next assignment's right there on the tail of the other one. And you're not even going to have a chance to relax. But if you're in God's grace, if you're in his rest, you won't mind these storms that come your way. Thank you, Father. God's grace. God's grace is so sufficient. God knows your goings in and he knows your goings out. And he's here to tell you tonight that he is with you no matter what you're going through. And even though you thought that your trial would just be a short one and it ended up being years, God is still in that trial. He's still in your life. He is still leading, guiding, directing you through grace. I'm standing here as an example of what God can do. He can put you into the deepest hole you ever wanted to go into. But he can stay in that hole with you and bring you out whole. Your mind won't be affected. Your body won't be affected. But he'll keep you in that hold you until you finish that assignment he has you on. But he always tells me, daughter, I'm in there with you. And he always says, my grace is sufficient. And when that assignment's over, I think, well, that wasn't all that bad. And then you go into another one and then you think, this is the worst one I've ever been in. But then whenever you get through that assignment, you say, well, that wasn't all that bad. See, as we take our eyes off of the assignments As we place our eyes upon God, we will understand that His grace called us there and His grace will keep us there. Now, if you called your own self to something, then don't blame that on God. But I mean, if God has called you to something, then God's going to keep you. Now, if God's called you on assignment and you've stayed there too long, He's told you to leave and you didn't leave, then you really truly cannot blame. See, and I did that. I said, I cannot blame these years that I went through with all the mess I went through on God, because God told me to leave and I stayed. Are you understanding this? So if God's telling you to leave, then leave. Don't stay. But now don't say, well, God told me to leave. No, He didn't either. You just wanted to leave, so you made that up. Come on. God's tell, if you'll know. Everybody around you will know too if God's telling you to leave. Amen. Tonight, God wants you to know that His grace is sufficient in the days ahead when the storms really rage around about. His grace is sufficient. And if we keep our eyes upon Him, we'll find favor in His eyes. When everything else is all gone awry, you won't. You'll be standing tall and you'll be standing firm. And you'll know that you know that you know that God is in control. And He knows all about you. I only know what you want me to say. Excuse me, but God knows all about you. And believe me, some of you in here tonight, you need to understand that God loves you. He deeply, deeply, deeply loves you. And the reason why you feel like He doesn't love you is because you want to believe that. Because if you can convince yourself that God doesn't love you, then you can stay in your sin. Well, you don't love me enough to free me of it. Yes, He does. Yes, He does. But you won't give Him that chance. You won't yield to that love. After all, everybody hurts me when I do that. Well, you know what? I've been hurt more times than I care to talk about, haven't you? But God's love is always there. God's grace is always there. And you aren't going to die if you think somebody isn't loving you the way you think they should love you. We need to stand on God's love and not man's love. If we do that, then we're not going to be challenged in any area of our life, because we're going to be secure in Christ. Because it's His love that secures us.